Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Shattered Silence, Stories of Recovering Resilience. My name is Jory, and today we have Scott Huhn with us. Scott, thanks for coming back.
Hey, I'm excited about it, too. Four seasons?
Four seasons. Dang. So crazy. Time flies. I know. And actually, Scott was literally my very first guest.
Yeah.
Yeah. We even redid it. I was like, it was my story. And I'm like, no. I was so nervous. I was pretty fresh. Everything that had happened with Kyle. And it was really nerve-wracking to start that. But I'm so glad that you started this journey along with us. And I'm glad to have you back.
Me too. I've just watched you grow, and you've gone through so much in these last four seasons. Yeah. I watched your episodes, and man, the stuff that you deal with on a weekly basis, or, every time you do a new story, and, I was just thinking a lot about you and about that lately, and I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, honestly, it's not always easy because, like I've said before, I'm an empath. I just understand how people feel. And even if I'm like not in that exact situation, I can just kind of feel their pain, And so it is a lot sometimes to go through and talk with people and just kind of bring back your own emotions and kind of, put yourself, like I said, put yourself in their shoes. And so it can be emotionally draining at times, but at the same time, it is very rewarding. And I know having us sit down on our very first episode and me kind of spill my guts and talk about my feelings a little bit. And I felt great about it after. And now going through these four seasons, I'm like, now I'm in that role where I'm just listening to other people and giving them this space to just share what they want, share their stories, share their feelings, and just know that there's other people out there that just get them,
I love that. Over the last 40 years of counseling families and people, one of the things I've always tried to do is provide a safe, non-judgmental place for people to come and share their stories, share their trauma. And I feel like if you do that, people will come, and once they start to trust you and trust the process, they will tell more and more stuff, which will be really healthy for them to kind of get things out. And I think that's really awesome. What always worries me is, what about the clinicians, right? What about us, the people that are witnessing this trauma on a daily basis? I was taught a long time ago that as we're listening to these stories, like you just said, it really affects us, and you can cry and you feel the pain of the people that are sharing. And, when you witness all these traumas, you actually become a victim of that trauma yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So what are we doing to take care of us? So my question for you, I guess, is what are you doing? Like what's Jory really doing to make sure that she's okay?
I feel like the biggest thing, I still go to counseling.
Good.
I still do my therapy, and I don't see her as often as I used to. I used to see her once a month, and now I've switched to every other month, and we've talked about maybe going every 3 months, but it's still just nice to sit there and have a space for myself to go over my own feelings, and not be that supportive role for someone. It's kind of like, I still need to do that for myself too. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so I think just let me start over.
That's okay.
I think just realizing that you need to pause for a second and give yourself that grace and really just take care of yourself as well. Like, you can feel for other people, but still give yourself some time to not sit and be in all these sad stories, give yourself some time and, just take time for yourself too.
I like that. And for me, I try to unplug every once in a while and just get away.
Yeah.
My wife and I, we like to go to the beach and take our dogs and, and just try to fill my cup up, right? Because if our cup's empty, then what are we going to give to other people?
Yeah.
So just trying to do things like that. And I feel like I see you doing that as well. What are some of the things that Jory likes to do to kind of fill her cup?
Yeah. Me and Brooks and my now fiance.
What?
Yeah.
I saw that diamond kind of blinding me over here, dude. Like, you know.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. It's really, yeah. I mean, a whole different subject there. But
I know.
But yeah, so we'll go to the nursery and we like plants and stuff. We've kind of gotten Brooks into that. You know, just getting out of the house and just doing things that we like to do. Even like in the summertime, we go to the lake and like that is my real like unplug time, you know, like cool. I get to just relax to the lake. It's my favorite spot ever. Reminds me of my grandma who's passed, my cousin who has passed. And it's just like all the people that I love and cared about also loved this space. So it's like, yeah, it's my favorite unwind spot. Aspire Counseling Services provides caring, personalized support for adults and teens facing mental health challenges. From group therapy to mindfulness, art, and even pet therapy, their programs are designed to help people feel better and build healthier habits. Teens can get the support they need while still keeping up with school and home life. You can reach Aspire at 888-585-7373. You know, we've been doing this for 4 seasons now. So has anyone come through like talking about the podcast, or maybe we've kind of pushed them towards their recovery?
You really have. And we've gotten several people that have reached out to us over the years and have seen the podcast, and it really influenced them to want to make a change in their life, either from the person themselves that had the problem or from a family member who saw the podcast and then like maybe push their loved one into some type of recovery or treatment. And so, yeah, it has, and it has worked. And, and you know, we call it at Aspire, we call it planting seeds, saving lives. So I was going to say you were planting seeds, right?
Yeah.
And you're helping to save lives because they are actually coming into treatment and they are getting better
as a result of that. Yeah, I love to hear that. I mean, like we said when we first even started this, if it helps one person, like that's all it takes, you know, just one person to hear the real stories and hear that they can get help.
Yeah, and definitely a lot more than one. So that's really awesome.
Yeah. And I know that, like, I don't know, a podcast like this where it's not like several episodes telling a single story. Each episode is their own, and it might not resonate with every single person for every episode, but that's the point. We want a bigger outreach because every person's story is different, you know, and there's different, it's not all just addiction. It's not all just mental health issues that you're dealing with. You know, there's so many different topics and different things that we talk about here. And we just want, regardless of what type of help it is, you can get help.
I like that. And I like the fact that you work with veterans and you work with wives and husbands and mothers and fathers and kids. And
broad spectrum.
Man, you like do it all. You're like a one-stop podcast shop over here, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty neat.
A little bit of everything.
You really do.
It is nice.
All kind of heart and soul related, though, right?
Yeah.
Like you're in
the
heart and soul business.
Yeah. And so I feel like partnering with, you know, Aspire has been great, though, because it's not like we're just like, here's the stories, hope you get help. You know, it's like, no, we have a resource for you, and go into Aspire, even if it's not Aspire. I know you guys have kind of helped people get to where they need to be.
Any program to get help, right? Even Psychiatric Wellness Center,
right?
Yeah. I mean, all of that. Bakersfield Recovery Services, you know, all these different ones. And if they're not in Bakersfield, all the other treatment centers that are outside of California, and for you, you got listeners probably all over the world.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's treatment centers and help all over the world for people.
Right.
And wherever they need to go to get that help, that's all we want, right?
Well, if they, that, I mean, that brings me into something else. If they're not local, and if Aspire can't directly help them or be the facility that they can go to, what are, I guess just what are different, how do I say that? How can they find the proper resources, and how can people listening kind of know that this is the time that they need to get their loved one help?
One of the things that you have to be careful about is everybody has really pretty websites, right? I mean, and you got all these really great website designers, and they do a beautiful job creating websites, but a website really doesn't tell you much about the program.
Right.
What I like to do is I do a lot of research, Google searches, things like that, where that you actually get people's opinions on the places that they've actually visited.
Yeah.
And I go to different ones. I'll do two or three different sites like that to get reviews about the program.
Mm-hmm.
And also just word of mouth, you know, so if you know somebody that's been through a program,
mm-hmm.
what was their experience there?
Mm-hmm.
For me, treatment centers or programs are really as only as good as their counselors, right?
Right.
It's kind of like going to a restaurant.
Yeah.
You go to a restaurant, well, if the chef sucks, man, I don't care how pretty it is, the food's not going to be real good.
Right.
You know, so... You really got to make sure you go to a really reputable place that has really good treatment
right.
and proven treatment over the years, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that's important. I mean, you wouldn't want to send your loved one or you yourself go to a place that, you know, could possibly cause more damage.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. And so talking about the treatment facilities, though,
mm-hmm.
I know we've talked about it a couple times on the podcast, but let's go back and talk about just how... Like if there's different signs that loved ones would see and how they can get their loved one into treatment.
You know, a good question. You know what?
I know it's not one.
That's a good question.
You know, it's not like one size fits all. I know I say that comparison a lot, but do you have any pointers?
Yeah, I think for me, I referenced back to they did a study a long time ago where they were trying to find the genetic link to alcoholism and drug addiction in
mm-hmm.
people. And they didn't really find an alcohol or a drug gene, but what they found was an obsessive compulsive gene, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and everybody always kids me because I always say if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly,
uh-huh.
you know, go big or go home.
Yeah.
You know, I was getting some Starbucks this morning and they're like, they know me over there. Like, hey,
yeah.
Scott, you know, and I'm like, you want to, you know, what do you want? How big of a drink do you want? And I'm going, dude, Trenta, right?
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, if you had a bucket, I'd probably buy a bucket,
yeah.
you know, and they just laugh at me, but it's kind of crazy. So, like, you know, really drugs and alcohol is not the problem, right? Dealing with life on life's terms is the problem. Drugs and alcohol is just a symptom of that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe that, the people that become alcoholics or drug addiction people, they're really, it's usually they have that all or nothing gene, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go big or go home. So
right.
So if you can help that person get clean and sober, man, the sky's the limit for them, right? They
mm-hmm.
they become mayor. They become, they run like big companies. They
uh-huh.
they're movers and shakers. They do really big things. They really
right.
they really affect people in a positive way.
Yeah.
But if they don't get clean and sober and they go the other way, you know, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly, and then they destroy everything that they've ever
right.
loved or touched in their lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just cause havoc.
Mm-hmm.
So. So if you believe me in all that, and I've only been doing this 40 years, but
yeah.
this is kind of what I'm thinking. This is kind of what I've been seeing. So then what do you do? Well, you have to get abstinent first, right? You do have to get off the drugs and alcohol because if you keep taking the numbing medicine, then you can't really get the tools that you need to
mm-hmm.
be able to cope and deal with life on life's terms.
Right.
A good treatment facility will help you do that first, and then. They will help to teach you the tools that you need in order to be able to deal with life on life's terms because
mm-hmm.
that's the real problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know everybody may not really believe that or maybe they don't feel like that's the truth and maybe it's not everybody's truth,
mm-hmm.
but I'm telling you, a lot of people that I dealt with over the years, that's the truth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's my truth. It's what I went through. So...
Mm-hmm.
Once I learned the tools to be able to deal with life, then I had to have a safe place to be able to practice those tools.
Right.
What's hard about that is just because I got clean and sober doesn't mean that everybody in my life got clean and sober.
Right.
You know? So now there's another saying that I use. It's like if you're going to be on a diet, you don't want to hang out at Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
No offense to
yeah.
Krispy Kreme. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're good. But if you're on a diet, a bad place to be.
Right.
But, you know, can you imagine, like, you're trying to, like, lose weight. You go to the donut shop every day, and you're like,
mm-hmm.
you know, knock on the door. Hey, you know, I'm just here to hang out. You know, and
yeah.
the guy's all,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, that's a great
just
comparison, though.
Looking at me. Well, eventually, like, if you keep going to the bakery, you're probably going to eat a donut.
Right.
And if you're like me, going to be a bear, be a grizzly,
yeah.
I'm going to eat a whole box of donuts.
Yeah.
And I won't
yeah.
even know, like, what they tasted like. I'll eat them so
right.
quick, you know.
yeah.
And so, you know, when you think about it like that, you have to have a safe place for the person to practice the tools that he needs to be able to deal with life. And how you do that is over time. Mm-hmm. It takes time to learn these things. Yeah. We didn't get sick overnight, right? It didn't mm-hmm. happen, you know. So it's going to take a long time. Sometimes people want us to get sober and be perfect.
Right.
You need to be sober and be perfect. Like, you need to clean your room. Right. You need to get straight A's. Mm-hmm. You need to not cuss. You need to do yeah. You need to do all these things, and you need to do them right now. Mm-hmm. Well, man, dude, that's hard to do. Mm-hmm. And remember, we're sensitive.
Yeah.
People with addiction issues, we're like hypersensitive. Mm-hmm. You know, we like to get tattoos, and we like to do all these things to like keep people, get body piercings everywhere. We like to try to push people away from us, mm-hmm. keep people scared. But reality is when we let you in, man, we're sensitive. Mm-hmm. And we need we just need to learn how to find balance in all of that, learn how to be safe, learn how to practice our tools, mm-hmm. learn how to set boundaries for people in our lives and for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's a lifetime journey.
Yeah.
Am I talking too much?
No, okay. Not at all.
All right.
No, not at all. Because I just feel like that's what we hear the most, is the biggest struggle is getting clean tends to be not the easy part, but afterwards is what's a really hard part, is because you're trying to get back to your normal, but you can't really get back to your normal because what your normal was wasn't good for you, you know? So
true story.
So, you know,
you know, and we're kind of not really normal anyway. We're like kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Our normal's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. And it's kind of like, it's also kind of a lonely journey at times.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, because I know that, like, for me, a lot of my using and drinking, there was a lot of social mm-hmm. aspect in that. Mm-hmm. And I talked to a lot of people, and they're like, man, dude, like, our family reunions, everybody's drinking. Mm-hmm. You know, birthday parties, everybody's drinking. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl's coming up.
Yeah.
Probably going to be some drinking going on, yep. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All these events, every event, there's drink, weddings,
oh, yeah.
funerals, you know, you name it, people are drinking. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's almost like we can't have fun unless we're drinking and have a lot of food.
Yeah.
So two things that I struggle with, yeah. man, drinking and you know, and I like to eat, uh-huh. you know, I only go to the gym just so I can eat, right. you know? And so it's kind of like, how do we find balance in that?
Right.
And so then you kind of, especially in the beginning, you have to start cutting a lot of that stuff out mm-hmm. of your life. Well, all of a sudden now you're alone.
Yeah.
And man, you know, it's hard to be alone and with this with yeah. this thing up here, right? Because
right.
I always say that, man, an addict alone is in their own worst company, mm-hmm. you know, because our heads will talk trash like 24/7, you know. And so to try to shut this up, listen to our hearts, follow what we need to right. do, find balance.
Mm-hmm. Man. I'm sure finding the balance is extremely hard, especially with like, I mean, like if drinking is the issue, it's like that's so socially accepted at this point in time, you know, it's like, yeah that's got to be so hard. And I mean, I can only imagine. I haven't been in that place, but I've been around.
Yeah, you know,
I've seen it, but yeah. So, yeah, that's got to just be really tough. And I feel like there is slightly a comparison with that, because when you're grieving, you feel like you're lonely as well. You feel like you're just alone in it, and no one can possibly feel how you feel, but there are lots of people that feel how you feel. Mm-hmm. And it's the same, I'm sure, with addiction. You know, you feel like you can't talk to anyone. You're all in your head. You're by yourself. You're alone. But there's other people that have gone through it. So even if you don't physically talk to someone, listen to the podcast,
like,
you know,
it.
You feel like you're not alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that brings up a good point of why we're here.
I like that. And also hope, right?
Right.
I mean, I always tell people too, if you're breathing, man, we got hope.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, let's do whatever we can. Put one mm-hmm. foot in front of the other. I love that. Listening to podcasts. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We didn't have that back in the
day.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, like, I feel like for people that feel like they're alone, there's hotlines and stuff like that, because people don't want to admit that they have something going on, and they don't want to talk to loved ones because they'd rather talk to a stranger almost, because they don't want them to know how they really feel. So yeah, I feel like a podcast can be kind of that crutch too. You know, you can listen, and maybe that might be that inspiring word to actually call someone and get help, not just a hotline, you know?
I love that.
Yeah, thank
you. I know that Evan, he's our director of community engagement, and he's one of the guys that answers that phone 24/7 mm-hmm. when you call our 888 number, mm-hmm. and Evan truly cares, and he'll be on the phone at 2 or 3 in the morning and listening to people's traumas, yeah. and he will stay on the phone with them for an hour. I mean, Evan's like amazing.
Gosh.
I worry about him because I want him to take care of himself, right too. And I'm always telling him he needs to take some time off and take his amazing wife and all of his kids, like, go somewhere and, like, just take care of you, bro, because the phone's always going
to
ring.
Yeah, and that takes a really special person to be that open ear all the time.
Yeah.
Like that
I mean, who can do that?
Call. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like we were talking about, you know, you do need your time to just let yourself, like, not sit in all of this sadness and other people's stories, because it does kind of hold a weight on you sometimes. But yeah, that takes a really special person to be able to answer the phone and at someone's, like, most vulnerable moments, you know.
It's such a beautiful thing to have people in this world like you and like Evan to be able to do this. I mean, you know, not very many people can do what you guys do.
Yeah.
That's pretty special.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I feel like sometimes I don't feel like that about myself, but I feel like that, you know, like about Evan. That's so nice that someone can do something like that. But I don't feel like I'm, like, in that same, like, realm as him. But I guess in a way I am.
You are. Yeah. I mean, look at all the guests that you've had on this podcast, man. And they like, talk to you.
Yeah.
I mean, you a lot of people talk to you, you know, and not everybody has that gift.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. I do want people to come in and feel like they can comfortably just talk about whatever they want. Also not feel like we're forcing them to talk about things they don't want to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
I'll ask you a question. If you don't want to answer it, just next, you know?
Have you ever had anybody do that? Or do they say, no, I'm
actually
not going to go
there?
Actually,
we have, like, maybe once or twice, but not much. But, yeah, just like, this is for you. If there's things you don't want to speak on, we'll just skip over it, you know?
Dang.
But yeah, I want them to feel comfortable. You know, you don't have to spill everything. Everyone has their personal things that they don't want to share. But share what you think will help others.
So having said that, you know, I think I mentioned a few times that Evan and I, man, we work out together. We're workout partners. And that's one of the things that we do to help kind of fill our cups and, you know, just take about an hour and a half and just work out, you know, whatever it is. And we come up with ideas when we're working out, and we talk personally, but we also talk about recovery. We talk about treatment. We talk about Aspire.
Yeah.
You know, and a couple weeks ago, Evan's like, you know what, bro? He goes, I'm thinking about, we need to come up with a new thing here. And I'm like, okay, what are you thinking, man? And he says, you know what? It's time to level up. And I looked at him and I go, what? Like, he goes, yeah, no, bro, it's time to level up. And I'm going, okay, all right.
You all know, right, what are we talking about?
I'm getting
here?
Pumped up, man. You know, got to make a hat.
Yeah.
And, you know, so in 2026, Aspire, we are going to level up. So we're going to aspire to level up, man. And, you know, and then take it to the next level. And you know, and I'm feeling excited about it. I feel like it's time for us to grow a little bit this year. And reach out and help more folks.
Yeah.
And so I really want you to know that you're going to see a bunch of a leveling up this
Good.
Year.
I love the inspiration.
You like that? You like leveling up?
Yes.
And then you know what? Coming in here, man, I'm like, dang, Jory's got new digs. I'm looking around. Like, y'all got lighting. It's all pretty in here. Like, like you're leveling up too.
We
I didn't know if you knew
yeah.
it, but you did.
I know a little bit, huh? I know. It's really, really cool to think that this podcast started, like, I guess we are coming up on 2 years here pretty soon, a year and a half ago, and all the guests we've had, all the lives we've impacted, all the foundations we've been able to, like, show other people, like, it's been really, a really rewarding thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Shattered
cool.
silence,
yeah.
leveling up.
Yeah. This is a paid message from Amelia Malloy's Angels. Did you know that 1 in 6 couples struggle with infertility, often facing emotional stress and the high cost of treatments? That's where Amelia Malloy's Angels, a nonprofit organization, steps in. Serving Kern County since 2022, Amelia Malloy's Angels provides family grants, comfort kits, and monthly support groups that bring hope, financial assistance, and spiritual care to couples who need it. If you would like to support families walking through infertility, you can become an Angel of Hope with a minimum monthly gift of $25, join their prayer team, or sponsor or host a monthly support group. Visit their website at www.ameliamalloysangels.com. And I want to go back more on like the treatment side of things and being a supportive role to someone. You know, there's like, I feel like there's kind of a fine line of just trying to be there for someone and enabling someone. So how do we differentiate those,
That is a great question, and I get asked that often, you know. So I get that asked that by parents a lot of times with children that are dealing with addiction issues, right? Mm-hmm. And also loved ones. And one of the things I like to say is that we need to lovingly allow people to go through and experience the consequences of their own actions. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry I stuttered through that a little bit, but I'm trying to think of the right wording to put that, because it's so important. Like for example, like enabling would be like if you say somebody gets a DUI, well then you go out and you give them a bunch of money to get out of jail, you know, whatever, you know, you pay for their big attorneys and all of that stuff to try to get them out of trouble. Or they have court fees and you go down and pay all their court fees. Mm-hmm. Or say they're too hungover to go to work or go to school, and you call the school or call their boss and say that they're sick and get them out of, you know, going through the things. That's enabling. If you can lovingly allow that person to go through the and experience the natural consequences of their own actions, that's the best way to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Because if we're constantly getting bailed out and we're constantly being taken care of, then we never really learn.
Right.
You know, people, human beings experience life and grow through life basically by dealing with through pain, right? We learn to, if the stove's hot, we don't touch it.
Right.
But every time we go to touch the stove, if mommy goes in and blocks the burner, you know, the baby never learned to touch the stove. Now, I'm not saying go let your baby get burned, right? Yeah. Please, you know, I don't want no babies to get hurt.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, please. But, you know, you see what I'm saying? So but you want to let these young adults and adults kind of go through what they need to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, it's hard for a loved one to really do that because they feel bad or they feel guilty.
Right.
Or and the addict or the alcoholic is really great at making them feel bad or guilty as well. Like we're master manipulators.
Yeah.
And we're really good at making them feel like, you know, you didn't do enough for me or you didn't take care of me or how could you let that happen to me? You know, or how could you do that to me, right? We're really good at pointing the fingers. It's everybody else's fault, but it's not ours. And you know, and so what I always encourage, so say you got a loved one and they can't get their loved one into treatment, like they just refuse to go. They don't. They say, I don't have a problem. Mm-hmm. Everybody does what I do. You know, you're just overreacting, right? You're acting crazy. And so what I do at that point then is I try to encourage the loved one to get into some type of therapy or Al-Anon or, you know, some type of a support group, you know, so that they can be around other people and learn, number one, that they're not crazy, that their feelings are valid, and that there is a way to get through this.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if the person won't get help, you get the person that's bringing the person to help.
Right.
And then you know.
To help them not enable.
And then, you know, hopefully the person will then will start to experience the natural consequences of their own reaction, of their own actions. And I know if anybody out there that's using, they're probably going to hate that I'm saying this, you know, but I'm saying it from the heart because I had to go through that. I mean, I was out living on the streets. I was doing all these things. I was 16 years old. I came home one more time, and I knew that my mom would let me in the house. When I walked up to that door, they had this screen door shut, bolted, locked.
Oh, my gosh.
And my mom and dad stood at that door and told me, no, you know, you can't live here anymore. No son of ours is going to live his life this way. And they basically casted me back out. Now, again, that's another disclaimer, right? Because I don't want parents just throwing everybody out on the street. But what I'm saying is that, you know, in order to live in my home, you will need to go through a program and get yourself better. We will support that. We won't support you living here using, drinking, sneaking out at night, running amok. You know, we just won't support that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you said it's a fine line. It is a fine line. And there's no perfect answer, but you have to do something.
Right.
I know for sure that if you do nothing, the problem will get crazy worse.
Right.
Right? It'll just get terrible.
Yeah. Can you talk, can you tell people what Al-Anon is? Because I remember at one point, Kyle even told me, you should maybe go to Al-Anon. I had never heard of it. He never explained more than that. I was like, I don't know what that is.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. No, that's a good question. So Al-Anon is like a support group for family members of us that are in AA, right? So if we're going to 12-step meetings and we're learning how to work steps or the tools that we need to deal with life on life's terms, right? If we're addicted to alcohol or drugs, and we can't do that anymore, so we have to replace it with something else, we use the steps or tools. People in Al-Anon are addicted to us. Mm-hmm. They're addicted to the alcoholic or the addict, and so if we're doing good, they're doing good, and if we're doing terrible, they're doing terrible, and that's no way to live.
Right.
So the program teaches them to like step away from that and teaches them a set of tools, mm-hmm, so that they can deal with life on life's terms no matter what we're right. going through.
Mm-hmm.
So important.
Yeah.
Can you imagine riding that emotional roller coaster? But we're riding the same roller coaster, but we're drunk and high.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going, wee! Oh, excuse
yeah.
me. We're going, wee! You know, we're going yeah. up and down the hills. We're like, what are you tripping on? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And they're riding it straight, like
yeah.
sober.
Your loved one's like, ugh, like what's next?
Yeah.
You know, what can I do to stop this?
Yeah.
So I really think, talking about Al-Anon, I feel like people need to know that and what that's about too. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, and there's other support groups too besides Al-Anon, and there's like Nar-Anon, which is like narcotic, like
okay.
family for people like Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay.
And I got to be careful, and I know that there's some traditions that say that we don't want to talk about like the 12-step programs on press, radio, and films.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how they do about podcasts.
Yeah.
But when they created those traditions, we didn't have any podcasts.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just trying to use it as a teaching tool for people and trying to do the right thing.
Right, yeah. Well, I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I feel like every time we talk, I feel like you always have great things to say and always just a positive message and how people can get help. And going through stuff yourself, I feel like it's just like you feel for people too because you know what they're going through.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of hope.
Yeah.
So what? We're going to level up.
Yep. Yep. Okay. I'm just going to do my closeout then. Well, Scott, I really appreciate you coming back to the podcast again.
Thank you.
First episode ever.
Yeah.
And back on the fourth season. As we always do, do you have any piece of advice to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, and thank you for having me. And
of
I'm
course.
Really excited for what the future is going to bring for you and
yeah,
your podcast
you.
And all your people out there, you know, listening. And
yeah, thank you.
I think for me, it's important to know that there's a ton of hope, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to know that, you know, no matter where you go get help, there's help available.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to continue to live our lives in despair and pain and suffering. You don't have to do it one more day.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't. You can just pick up the phone, get on the computer, reach out to us, reach out to Evan and his crew at Aspire.
Mm-hmm.
You can reach out to people who at whatever treatment center or program you want to, and just get help today.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we think, oh, you know what, I'll just get through the weekend. We got the Super Bowl coming up.
Yeah.
I don't want to, maybe I want one last hurrah, but you know what, you don't really need one last hurrah.
Yeah.
And I think what you'll find out is that no matter what age you are, no matter where you're at in your life, that if you get help today, you will thank yourself for it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. Thank you so much again, Scott.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Shattered Silence. As always, don't forget to follow us on our socials on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. You can watch full episodes on YouTube, or you can listen in on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Psh.